mindful of the festive day that we celebrate as a parish, the 7th anniversary. Part of my little spiel, homily today is going to focus a little bit on that, but to know that God invites us always on his path, huh? The path of faith. And this week as I prayed and tried to, in a more intentional way, because of this great feast and celebration today, to write down even a few more thoughts, so I hope you can bear with me this morning. But we might say that the scriptures, and especially even beginning with the first reading, really might invite us to think about what coaches would say are fundamentals, or, you know, simple mechanics that really help athletes perform. And so Jesus and the scriptures today kind of invite us into the same thing, and it anchors us in this mystery of faith, huh? Faith and fidelity. Now, I found a saying that I thought was a good invitation for us to ponder. So one writer, and I found this quote, but there was no author. It said it's anonymous. But the writer said, faith is not about performing Herculean tasks. Faith begins with belief in oneself, and belief in oneself ultimately leads to belief in the abiding presence of God in all situations and circumstances. It is a deep movement within the soul that alters the way we respond to death and life, or to life and death. Faith, belief in oneself, belief in God, and then there's a response. On May 8th, 1954, Father George Kempker got the call and embraced this gift of faith and invitation, and then desired that this virtue would grow as he accepted the challenge to be the first pastor of St. Pius X Parish. He then engaged the founding members to help him build the first church, a miraculous thing. We know it's the 90-day miracle, huh? With his incredible vision, courage, fidelity to the gospel, and the grace of the Holy Eucharist, this parish community then thrived and evolved now for 70 years. I would wonder what he would say if he were here today. I think he would be impressed. Much growth and advancements have unfolded for generations due to countless people's sacrifices, priests and religious leadership and other ways of ministry and service, dedication, stewardship, and intentional labors for the Lord. And amazingly, because of faith, we are called to the same task. As I mentioned, the scriptures seem to highlight this one connecting theme, which is part of our challenge. Fidelity, which means responding to God's covenant and striving to be faithful to God. The first reading from the book of Joshua reminds us of this gift and invitation. And we have to just be mindful that Moses, as he helped the people move from the promised land, from their place of slavery, and on their journey to the new land, that he never entered the new land. And I'm not going to get in that today, but it's complicated. But we know that Joshua was his successor. And as they entered the new land, Joshua then invited the people as they were moving into the new territory. He called them to commit to some God, but also aware that as they entered the new land, it was a land known for worshiping many gods. And thus we can maybe think about why he would invite them to say, who are you going to serve? Who are you going to follow? And so he says and articulates his intention, huh? As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. And the people then, as they heard him, began to recall God's marvelous deeds that helped them free them from slavery and assist them on the journey to the promised land, they then respond after an important decision. Therefore, we also will serve the Lord, for he is our God. With hope and trusting in God's providence, many blessings came forth. In similar fashion, for many generations of people and families of St. Pius X, the goodness of God has prevailed because of fidelity to God. And God still always calling us to be his holy people. Even the second reading this weekend kind of uses that analogy as we listen to St. Paul articulating the faithful and mutual love meant for relationships, especially in marriage, saying that people who are called to this vocation are meant to mirror the love of Christ that he has for the church, for his bride, and even the love that God has for each one of us. And thus, he hopes we will respond and also choose to say we want to honor the one God and love the one God and seek his path. The Gospel of John this weekend ends the long discourse, the Bread of Life discourse, that we've been hearing for the last 4 to 5 weeks. And it's amazing, as Jesus concludes this elaborate teaching on the Bread of Life, there are varied exceptions or expressions of acceptance, some struggles, and even rejection with the disciples and the crowd. He acknowledged this reality, but yet safeguarding the truth. For he said, "The words I have spoken are spirit and life." Obviously, some failed to believe, some left, some returned to the former ways of life. Then Jesus questioned the 12 in a very specific way, saying, "Do you also want to leave?" And acting as a spokesperson, Simon Peter answered him and made this incredible confession of faith. Huh? "We have come to believe and are convinced that you are the Holy One of God, and thus we also want to follow you." This affirmation and bold proclamation was an insight that developed over time, even by hardships, struggles, as Peter and his disciples witnessed and became enlightened by God's wisdom and the heroic and mysterious acts of the Master, Jesus. They came to believe they had become recipients of God's precious and generous gift of Jesus, the bread of life, bread for the world. Pope Francis, this morning I found it, and so I'm going to share with you a couple words. He says, "Fidelity to God is a question of fidelity to a person to whom we bind ourselves and walk together on the same road. And this person is Jesus. And thus, we come in prayer today to nurture that gift and to become more aware of where Christ is." And he goes on to say, we need Jesus to be with him, to be nourished by his table, his words of eternal life. And believing then means that making him the center, the meaning of our life. And Christ is not an optional element. He's an essential gift as the living bread, the essential nourishment. Binding oneself to him is a true relationship of faith and love, and it does not mean being tied down, but being profoundly free, always on the journey. We might say always on this treasure hunt, where we discover this immense gift of God and his grace, his love, his strength, his mercy. Even the psalm response this weekend is filled with a sense of helping us ponder, you know, this greatness of God. Taste and see the goodness of the Lord. If we're honest, there are a multitude of ways God has blessed us and nourished us with his divine grace or love. Now, I want to share with you a story that at least helps me also kind of give us another perspective of the Eucharist and why it is so central. It's important, as the church would teach, but also to think about it in our own journey of faith. It's a story that goes back in old times. It was about an old pastor way before automobiles and many other great things we have today. He was rushing to church in rural America when his horse stumbles and he falls to the ground. And lying in the dirt with a broken leg and no one to help in sight, the pastor then called out, "All you saints in heaven, help me get up back on my horse so I can get to church for Mass." And then with superhuman effort, he leaps back onto the horse's back, falls off the other side. Once again, lying on the ground, he called out to the heavens, he said, and he pleads, "All right, just half of you this time." So we can think about the strength and this hidden mystery of the Eucharist, huh? That at times it lifts us up. It helps us attain a strength that we can never imagine. and something that we really can never sometimes know that it's anything, but it has to be of God. And we profess, you know, in a couple moments, the creed. We believe in the communion of the saints. We believe in the connection of the body of Christ here on earth and those in heaven to help us, to encourage us. We have the prime opportunity to savor the graces of God, his mercy, compassion, and love as we celebrate the past, present, and future as we participate in the Holy Eucharist. And repeatedly, we're invited to participate and partake in the gift and treasure of Jesus revealed and the one gift that he continually offers us, himself, in word and in sacrament. This holy food is meant to then sustain us in the journey of faith, also enabling us to nudge others forward, or maybe sometimes to lift them up by our ways of compassion and care, when life sometimes has thrown us down, or when we find life burdensome because of our own cross. There is a hidden and mysterious power in the unity and hope for the future when we receive the sacred body and blood of our Lord Jesus together. It enables us as imperfect people to invest, to commit, and to move forward with the rich tradition and heritage of St. Pius X as a parish community. Inspired by our patron saint, St. Pius X, who we celebrated this past week, we know that he was a faithful and caring shepherd as a pope, and let us then continue his vision and hope when he was shepherding the church to renew all things in Christ, allowing the Holy Spirit to work in us and transform us, that we too might reach the promised land, God's eternal kingdom of joy and peace. Now is our time, grateful of people of the past, to taste and see the goodness of God and to walk this journey with vitality and hope. As Joshua told his people, I join you then in serving the Lord, and I pray that you too will respond in faithful ways in saying, we know the Lord, we also want to serve and follow him.